You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are 12 recognized Native American tribes in Michigan. Some 130,000 Native Americans live throughout our state. In fact, Michigan has the largest population of Native Americans east of the Mississippi. And in that community, as well as across the nation, one of the most urgent women's health issues has been access to emergency contraception. For most American women, it takes just a trip to the drugstore and then anywhere from $30 to around $65 to get the so-called morning after pill, Plan B. The dilemma for women who go to Indian Health Services facilities, they have no retail pharmacies. So American Indian and Alaska Native women who need emergency contraception would have to deal with emergency rooms, urgent care clinics, and that usually adds up to long wait times and more money. And when you learn of the frequency of sexual assault against Native American women, this becomes very clear why this issue is so important. And although the federal government has given a verbal directive to Indian Health Services to give women over age 17 free access to Plan B, there's a lot of concern that this is not being evenly handled. Joining us to talk about this is the founder and executive director of the Native American Community Board and the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center located on the Yankton Sioux Reservation in South Dakota, Sharon Assatoyer. Welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you for inviting me onto your show. I certainly appreciate this opportunity to address these very sensitive issues with your audience.
And give us an understanding and a comprehensive sense, Sharon, just how important an issue this is to Native American women.
Well, there's a lot of importance here. I mean, one, we need to be treated with equal access so that we can access emergency contraceptives just like any other woman in this country. And currently, we're being treated differently. We're the only race of women that are being denied access to Plan B solely on our race. So that's a huge issue right there. Another issue is the fact that the sexual assaults are so high in our communities that there's a huge need for women to be aware that emergency contraceptive exists, for it to be offered to them, made aware of its existence by the healthcare provider that is providing services to them. And there should be really no questions asked when a woman goes up to request it.
When I saw the statistic from Amnesty USA that more than one in three Native American women is raped in her lifetime, and then you contrast that to fewer than one in five for American women overall, I was astounded, and I wondered, why is it that Native American women have to talk not about if they will become sexual assault victims, but when?
A lot of it has to do with the lack of prosecution and getting these guys off the streets. That has a lot to do with the Oliphant case, which actually took tribes' rights away from them to prosecute non-Native people in tribal court.
Now, I'm not familiar with that case.
Well, Oliphant, it stripped the tribes' ability to have jurisdiction over non-Indians in their court.
Okay.
So when a non-Indian commits a crime in Indian country, it has to be investigated by the FBI, and they're the only ones that can make an arrest. The tribal courts cannot prosecute and try this individual. It all has to be done in federal court. Another issue is the fact that until the Tribal Law and Order Act happened, we had difficulties getting the FBI to come down from their offices onto the reservations to do the investigations. And why should they if they don't have a forensic witness? Mm-hmm. One of the things that occurred in the Tribal Law and Order Act was a modification of the witness approval process. The forensic witness is usually the healthcare provider that that did the rape kit on the victim.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Indian Health Service was, a staff person that did the exam could receive a subpoena from federal court, and then it has to be approved by their service unit director. then the area director, then headquarters in Rockville, Maryland. Then it goes through the legal team and then back down the same way it came up to headquarters.
That's a pretty torturous path.
Well, it is. And a lot of times things would just get lost in the shuffle. And then the perpetrator, the time frame would expire on his right to a speedy trial. And that was the end of the case. And so a lot of these guys know that, and they became serial rapists. When Obama signed the Tribal Law and Order Act, it said that if the witness does not hear back from their supervisor within 30 days, it is assumed that it is approved.
So that hopefully the idea would be to streamline and move things along.
Exactly, exactly.
When you say to us that Native American women are the only ones being denied access to Plan B solely on race, explain what that looks like and what that has been like for women as this has gone on.
Well, women, first of all, say you're on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and you're sexually assaulted and you go in for some emergency contraceptives, or you go in to have a rape kit done and to get medical treatment, and you're not informed of what emergency contraceptive is.
And is that happening, where it's that uneven and that, that whole scenario actually does happen?
Well, that has happened in a lot of cases, not just on Pine Ridge. Pine Ridge is actually got pretty good medical teams. But on a lot of the other reservations, the healthcare providers are not providing this information, number one. Number two, if a woman knows about it and can't seek medical attention, for instance, on our reservation, up until just recently, the emergency rooms were closed. So you have to have an automobile or access to an automobile, and then you have to have gas to get you up to the nearest large town or city that carries it. Then you have to have the $50 to pay for it and then to make that round trip back home. So it could cost you $100 to $150. When you should be able to go into your local Indian Health Service facility and ask for it and be given to you, or through the rape kit process and the emergency room process, you'd be informed and about its accessibility, and if you decide that that's what you would like to do, given Plan B. But that doesn't always happen. We have lots of communities in our in Indian country where women do not know about it, or they have been given misinformation and believe that emergency contraceptives terminate pregnancies, like RU486. It would not be called emergency contraceptive if it wasn't a contraceptive. But the right wing, the opposition, and so on have really confused a lot of people with misinformation. So one of the things we try to do is to demystify all of these myths and to put accurate information out there into the communities.
I'm speaking with Sharon Esatoya. Sharon is with the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center and also founder and executive director of the Native American Community Board that's located at the Yankton Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. Sharon, talk to us about this verbal directive from the federal government that said, all right, Indian Health Services, give those women over age 17 free access to Plan B. Has it helped?
Well, this is really, it's a step in the right direction. I have to commend IHS for moving on that, but that occurred right after we filed a Freedom of Information Act requesting the policies that they've been promising us for over a year on access to Plan B. The only thing is that with a directive, a directive can be lost in the shuffle through, we'll say, a change of personnel. People can change their minds and rescind a directive. And so it's not a permanent solution. We want a policy because policies are much more permanent. Plus, they come with training and usually an audit. They're subject to being audited to see, to make sure that the policy is being followed. We really want to see policies in place and not the provision of Plan B on a directive.
So what's being done or what has been done already to help institute, to move toward instituting a policy, which, as you say, has training, has auditing, has a sense of responsibility?
through the process of surveying Indian Health Service units, we know that there's a lack of consistency in the way this directive is being administered. There are some service units that still, very few, but there are still some that are not providing any Plan B at all. The majority of them are, though, however, and some are providing it to women 17 and older. Some are providing it to women 15 and older. And there's a couple in the system that are now actually providing it to women of all childbearing age, as is the Food and Drug Administration policies since this federal court case that occurred earlier in the year that mandated the removal of age restrictions. Okay, so what that's telling us is that the standardized sexual assault policies and protocols that are supposed to be in place within the Indian Health Service system is not being enforced, because if there was standardization, they would all be receiving EC as an over-the-counter based on no age restrictions. So, but that isn't happening. So what we have is a lack of continuity and consistency. And so women don't know what to expect when they go into an emergency room for services until they're there.
Sharon, can you give us a sense how the situation is here in Michigan for Native American women, both those on reservations and those who do not live on a reservation? Better off, worse off, about the same?
I think it's pretty much the same across the board. You know, you've got to look at the number of law enforcement that are on duty at any one time versus the miles, square miles and acres that they're having to patrol. The Oliphant case certainly has national impact, so it's that way on all the reservations. So it, when you think about it, it has a horrendous impact, the Oliphant case on our day-to-day lives. From the kind of services that we get and our ability to be able to prosecute criminals. And if you don't have that ability to prosecute non-Native criminals, they know that it's open season, and so there's going to be more crimes committed. If tribes had the jurisdiction over non-tribal members, hey, the crime rate would be reduced, and we wouldn't see 1 in 3 Native women raped. So the government is definitely one of the huge factors in this. Congress could overturn the Oliphant case in a minute, but they won't. There's too much lobbying. There's too much big business behind it.
The view from the Native American community from my guest, Sharon Asatoya, who is the founder and executive director of the Native American Community Board and the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center, which is located on the Yankton Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. Sharon, thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside.
You're welcome.